Nightlife with Philip Clark
on ABC Radio.
We've all heard of Thailand's famous islands. Koh Samui, for one, attracts plenty of tourists from Australia and elsewhere. And then there's Phuket. Thailand actually has more than 1,400 of these small tropical islands of various sizes. And it seems that, one by one, they're being developed by resort moguls and then swamped by hordes of tourists. I bet there are more than a few of you listening tonight who remember the good old days when you spent all day on a coconut barge getting to the island of your dreams to sleep in a hammock under a palm tree on a deserted beach. Well, those days are pretty much over, but our well-travelled correspondent Rod Imey's just back from one island that seems to be resisting the tide of progress. Rod, good evening. Welcome back to Nightlife.
Hi, Philip. Great to be back.
Now, this island is called Koh Lanta. Tell us about it.
Well, Koh Lanta is, I'm sure that there are so many of you listeners who are very familiar with travelling to Thailand, and it's very close to Phuket, just a little bit to the south, all along that Andaman Sea coast that stretches all the way down to Langkawi at the top of Malaysia there. And, you know, you're... your guests will probably also know that it was a very busy trading route for the going back centuries, leading to the boats going down the Straits of Malacca, frequented by pirates and all other ne'er-do-wells. Mm-hmm. But Koh Lanta was kind of a secondary island and a port that developed its own trading history and trading character. And there's actually the island itself is... two islands. There's Koh Lanta Ye, which is the largest of the two. So it's a bit like
it's quite a big island.
It's one of the top ten largest islands, and it's probably about a tenth the size of something like Phuket, which is one of the largest. But even so, it has resisted ridiculous development. I mean, we know, we can all think of examples where these beautiful Thai islands, 40, 50, 60 years ago, they were just like palm trees and bark huts and stuff. And now they're overrun with, sandal-clad tourists and
package holidays.
Yeah, package holidays and all kinds of rough and ready bars and things all along the beach and rubbish. Yeah. But whereas now, this one seems to have clung to a more... of a ecologically sustainable model. And we had a family that developed a resort. I stayed at a place called the Pimalai, which you'll hear a little bit more about. And it's a beautiful resort and, very ritzy and flash with over water. It's not over water, but they've got beachfront villas, and they stretch all the way up the hillside to these villas overlooking the sea and the mountains, and you've got the restaurants and all that kind of stuff up there. So it's pretty flash. But this resort was built like 20 years ago as a retirement place for some well-to-do Bangkok business people.
Oh, okay.
And they've clung to that. And at the moment, the only way you can get to the island is by ferry. Mm. And so there's quite a bit of a deal of lining up and getting the cars and buses and trucks onto the ferry. So that, in a way, has provided a barrier to expansion and development, and it's kept a lid on things. And at least half the island is still preserved as national park, so you can go hiking and visit the waterfalls and the caves and whatnot. And The top island, the smaller of the two, is largely a preserved mangrove forest. Mm-hmm. And that's overseen or preserved by a large Muslim community who live on the island. And it's a place called the village there is, I've written it down here, Tung Yi Veng. And they look after that that mangrove thing, the mangrove village through there. And we all know that mangroves are a very important part of any marine ecosystem, and unfortunately haven't fared too well in a lot of the tourist places. So, so this one is protected by those people, yeah.
So, okay, the island is, Thailand being Thailand, it's hard to see that it won't be developed at some point.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But you think that there is some possibility that Koh Lanta might not be developed to an inch of its life.
Well, look, if the people that run the resort that I stayed at have got their way, I think they will resist Say, for example, there was discussion about building a bridge from the mainland onto the island.
Now, okay. How far off?
That would be a pretty substantial bridge. That'd be like a kilometre or more.
That's a pretty big bridge.
It is.
Expensive bridge.
Yeah. So there's a lot of sums that have to be done and a lot of accountants and so forth to get their spreadsheets out to do something like that. And at the moment, as I say, you're serviced by a ferry system, and mm-hmm. which is a bit clumsy and a bit cumbersome, but in a way that's good because, as I say, it keeps a lid on the development. So if the bridge was built, it would be a million dollar enterprise to put that bridge in, and some of that money may also come from overseas, and then you've got all kinds of other issues to deal with. So hopefully that doesn't occur. The only bridge that exists at the moment is to join the two parts of the smaller island together, and it's quite a modest bridge. And that in itself has transformed some of the environment on the island.
What do you do there?
Well, there's plenty of things to do.
So there's this resort that you stayed at. Presumably there are other places.
Yeah, there's one or two other ones which feature very high on the list of top resorts, mm-hmm. Promoted by all the big travel companies. However, there's lots of little B&Bs and little bunkhouses dotted all the way around the coast. And the road is this only really a sealed narrow track in a lot of places, and people driving around there at very modest speed, so there's there's no highway speeds or anything like that on the island. They're just trotting around.
Can you walk around it?
You can, and there's lots of hiking trails to do, and you can see, as I say, there's some caves to visit, which unfortunately I didn't get to visit on this occasion, so I'll have to put that down for next time. But the waterfalls are famous, and as I say, 50% of 3/4 of the island is still forested in what's can be called virgin mm-hmm. forest. Also, the island itself is a jumping-off point to some of the islands nearby for scuba diving. And, I've scuba dived in the Sea of Thailand, the Gulf of Thailand on the other side of the peninsula, but in the Andaman Sea can get a bit rough, and, there's a lot of, all through Asia, there's a lot of rubbish in the water. There's no other way to put it.
I know. It's terrible. Yeah. It's terrible. There's just plastic crap everywhere.
Yeah. Well, I was pleasantly surprised that there was very little around the islands. Now, the islands aren't occupied in any way. The one that I went to see was Koh Ha, and scuba divers in Thailand will know that. It's a beautiful rocky outcrop. The rocky outcrops that are typified by Halong Bay in Vietnam. What was the one that was made famous by the Roger Moore and Christopher Lee 007 movie, You Only Live Twice or something, where, the evil guy lived in that limestone cask sticking out of the water. So there was that kind of environment is typified all the way along that coast. So these casks extend below the water as well and provide quite an interesting diving environment and good habitat for fish life. So you've got quite a lot of your common reef fish, mm-hmm. your Nemo type anemone fish and some of the larger predatory fish. So and it's not uncommon, I'm told, to see whale sharks and manta rays in that vicinity as well.
Okay.
So, which is always a nice thing to see.
So scuba diving's good. You can do tours of the mangroves.
Yeah. Now that's as I mentioned before, the villages of Tong Yi Fang, who are a Muslim community, been living there for centuries, mm-hmm. And they populated the ports, the trading ports, all the way along the Andaman coast, right down to the Straits of Malacca, as we mentioned previously. So they've taken on residency and custodianship of that mangrove forest, and you can go along there. And there's a couple of ways to do that. One is to get on one of their little powered boats and putt 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 around the little channels inside.
Well, you do it yourself, do you?
Or you can get a kayak or a canoe. And I would think really the best way to do that would be in a kayak or canoe because it's a little more intimate. Mm-hmm. And the only thing is you've got to watch out for the bloody monkeys, the macaques, the nasty little buggers. Mm-hmm. They'll jump down out of the trees, swim across the water, and get into your boat and raid your picnic basket.
Oh, really?
So we had some sandwiches for lunch, but they didn't last long, and we didn't get many.
Is that right?
And they're quite vociferous. They're quite, yeah. So,
well, you don't want to get into a fight with them, like you do.
No, you don't. You surrender. They're fairly adamant that those sandwiches are theirs, and that's what you brought them for. So I got some interesting pictures. But, yeah, so you've got to watch out for that. I mean, they're the same type of species of monkeys that you'll see at the temples all through Asia, and they get quite cheeky and a bit aggressive if you're not careful. So watch out for those guys. But they're fun. You know, they swim around, they jump on the boat, and they'll act the goat. The other people the other ethnic group that also populates not only Koh Lanta but all the other islands along the coast are the Mokans, who best known for occupying the Mergui archipelago up in Myanmar, Burma, sometimes called the Sea Gypsies and known as the Chal Lay in Thailand. So they've also got they're an Austronesian sort of Indo-Malay community that also occupy the islands, and they were once a sort of living off boats and semi-nomadic lifestyle, and of course the modern world has meant that they do a lot less travelling around, and they tend to be more fixed in their address as opposed to before. But they've still are quite distinctly, visibly, distinctly ethnically different from the Muslim community and the local Thai people and the Malays from a little bit further down. Let's remember that Langkawi is only just at the bottom of this thing. So,
right. Yeah,
there's quite a lot of overlap, ethnic and geographic overlap. Yeah.
Is it what you say you can hike? Is that a thing?
Yeah, it is for those who can do it.
Is it safe?
Yeah. Safe in terms of what you can watch slip and fall or you'll get.
No, personal safety.
Personal safety. Well, look, I didn't hike, but I've never. In all my 20 years of travelling to Thailand and all various places, I've never come across a situation where I felt my personal safety was in danger. Now, that's not to say it doesn't exist. I find I'm much more on my toes here in Sydney, to be honest with you. there are other places in the world where you need to be particularly on your guard. I don't personally find Thailand a place that I'm particularly worried about.
Right, okay.
And Koh Lanta is not any different.
Mm. Yeah. Hmm. Okay, sounds and to get around, you can walk or you can hire a motor scooter.
Yeah.
And I presume it being Thailand, the food is great.
The food is excellent, and there's lots of little places, little roadside stalls to choose from.
Yeah.
You've got the Annam, the sea coast, which is the west facing coast, which faces out into the Annam Sea. We've got lots and lots of beautiful, white sandy beaches. The eastern side of the island, which faces the mainland, is a lot more, it's a little bit muddier and dominated by the mangroves.
I presume if there's a Muslim culture, you can get lots of dishes of Muslim and curry.
You can get all that stuff, yeah. Mm. Yeah, plenty of it.
All right, is it expensive?
No. And that's another thing that's good about it. I mean, you can obviously, where we stayed and a couple of the 5 and 6 star resorts, there's plenty of excuse to spend your money there. But you can have a quite enjoyable and comfortable budget-priced holiday at any of the little smaller guest houses and hotels that are any of the little villages along the western coast.
All right. Have a think about it. It's called Koh Lanta. It's an island off Thailand and not as overrun as Phuket, which is completely overrun these days.
It is. It certainly is.
Koh Samui, which is not much better.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm. All right, Rod Imey, good to talk. Thank you.
Always a pleasure, Philip.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.